I guess we're back, Jake. I don't know. I don't know. Are we really back though? Are we present? Back,
I guess. Our little summer hiatus. It feels good.
Should we tell the people what's what?
I think
honesty is the best policy here. So we've just been gone for a month. Jake has been to every wedding on every coast in America. You're going full.
How many people have weddings?
You're of the age, my friend. I get to start going to divorce parties soon, which is going to be fun. Nice. And then I was in Europe because I am a white upper middle class American, and that's apparently what you do, even if you live very far away. By the way, Croatia. Big ups to Croatia. Had a good time in Croatia. Yeah. Here's the actual nuts and bolts of it. I am currently on paternity leave. I have been given permission by my wife to do this. That is the way I live. It's a very cuck lifestyle that I have going on.
Beautiful.
I'm taking care of a 5-month-old, sort of, barely. She's alive. She'll be fine. And you're working on like a million things. So here's the deal. Full story short, we have not been to training camp yet. Feel free to log off now, folks. That's how we have thoughts on it. We have thoughts on what's happening on these streets. We've heard tell of what's going down. And not victory lap time, because it is far too early, and we obviously haven't seen it with our own two eyes. But my goodness, kind of called a few of these things. A lot of people coming to the Dieter and Jake table saying, hey, what's going on with this? And we were on this in March. We were on this in June. We've been on it forever. CJ West, who could have seen this coming, Jake?
And to be honest, it feels great also having put as much time as we did into the draft and then sort of zoning out and going, all right, well, let's see what's what. And then people are like, no, that's seems to be the case. Again, crazy early, but like at least totally. The pads are on and it's looking at it. I have no idea of anything about Isaiah Nair, but that sounds well, promising.
No, the truth is that we know everything there is to know about Isaiah Nair, and yeah, it's yeah.
I heard there was one great catch, and that was about it.
And then you watch the rest of it, and he's not actually doing the thing that they pay him to do. I will also say this. It is, and maybe this is sacrosanct, given the...
It's a big word, buddy.
Well, I'm a big guy. sacrosanct, given the business that we are in. But I think the last few years of 49ers training camp has given me the pretty clear indication that unless you want to get nitty gritty, which of course you and I very much do, it doesn't matter that much. There are plenty of battles. Don't get me wrong. And I do think that there's interesting stuff, but trying to get any sort of macro, it has to be pretty dramatic. And last year I would argue it was dramatic, right? It was just bad vibes throughout. And that bled into the season. Everyone was injured.
And then I just kept going every day, and every day was just slop fest. And I went, what am I doing here?
Right. But I've been to training camps before where every day was a slop fest, and they went out and won the NFC because they dicked around for all of September and then figured it out in the long run. So I know that everybody, and certainly me in past lives, and probably me if I was there every day, would be building this up into something heavy. But I'll also throw this out there. They're going to do cutdowns, I think, on the 26th. That's not, of course, the final roster date. They'll be stashing people and moving people in or out. I'm not sure there's that many dramatic possibilities on roster cutdown day with this roster.
No. Just given what I think it's every year there's like a random guy that like you get really excited about, and you're like, how could they cut him? And inevitably we will be right and they will be wrong, as has always and will forever be the case.
But Jake, like last year we did that with Sam Ekwonu, and then they just got him back. Like they gamed the system. Was it risky and kind of stupid? Absolutely. Did it work? Yeah, it worked. So I don't know what this football team is. Right. And I think I think a lot of people, any team heading into the season, unless you're like the Chiefs or the Bills or something, and even then there's a level of question mark to everything.
Yeah.
Because it's a new year and a lot of things can go right, a lot of things can go wrong. I don't know what this team is. I don't think anyone knows what this team is. And I don't think that we're going to find out what this team is in training camp. Maybe that's just me Huffing.
I will say it's a monumentally important training camp for the players that are there because their entire roster is about 12 years old. Actually, it's not true. It's split between 40-year-olds and straight out of college.
Yeah, it is both the oldest and the youngest. Though I will note, I would much rather be in the Niners situation than the Washington Commanders situation, which is we have the oldest team in football constantly getting older, but also a second-year quarterback. So therefore, everything is fine.
Right.
That situation is wild, and those chickens will come home to roost this year. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, and the Terry McLaurin thing.
Ooh, it's a mess. I'll give you this. Nice to not have any messes. I thought for a second that Juwan Jennings thing was going to turn into a, maybe not a big time mess, but a legitimate mess.
Little mess.
Little mess. You know, something, it's like, oh, I got to clean this up. This is going to take another 10 minutes. Seems fine.
That's such a dad coded thing to say.
Yeah, well, my entire life is just, that's another 10 minutes, including this. That's another 30. There are battles. I'm not sure if the battles are going to come to a head. I will say the defensive line, from what I've read from, you know, and we listen, there are people that we very much trust in the 49ers media corps. I would say it's probably the majority. And there are people that, you know, we're not going to take their word for it. And that's mostly sporadic, right? Like folks that show up on Twitter and make a comment. That's fine. Like, we know how to handle what it is.
And I get the grift of
very logical grift.
Aren't part of the thing and then show up and break down every single play and give their take to sort of be like, I'm in the mix too. I get it. Totally. Like, I'm simultaneously shitting on them and also I understand it. And
we're kind of doing it right now, if we're being honest.
Damn right.
I think we're being honest about it. I think we're being blunt about it. And I know that we're both going to be out there. You're going to be out there later this week. I'll be out there in about a week or so. And we'll be, you know, every minute of that preseason game, my God, the analysis from that first preseason game, way too much. But there, you know, the main battles that I've been keeping an eye on, at least through proxy.
Yeah.
Weak side linebacker. Has anyone said Nick Martin's name at all? I haven't seen
it. You know, I actually went through Twitter and,
that's a mistake.
I genuinely was looking. Only our friend Larry had mentioned his name. Genuinely,
it's not you guys.
I went looking, and I didn't see much. And maybe he's been good, and no one's mentioned him. There's been a lot of D Winters talk, and I haven't seen anything on Nick Martin. Yeah. So,
and listen, it was always a very outside shot that Nick Martin was going to overtake D Winters. D Winters would have to do something disastrous, or in all likelihood, get injured because.
And maybe he does. Who knows? Maybe he kills it in the joint practices. And I think they have two joint practices.
Yeah, they should do one with the Raiders and do one with the Broncos. So AFC West, yes, coming your way. So yeah, there's something to watch there. Offensive line, I think I don't want to take a victory lap because I don't think I got it 100% correct. I didn't go back and check, but you know, I was very forthright in that I liked the plan of Austin Pleasance and Spencer Burford at tackle.
Yes.
It does seem as if Burford is now the backup left tackle. Pleasance is now the backup right tackle. I don't know if that's a long-term statement with Burford, but
yeah.
I like where that's at.
Andre Dillard had like an off-season thing, and they don't seem to. They're like,
he's still
someone asked, like, is he going to be back? He's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll practice.
Who's to say? It's Barch's job at left guard. Unless somebody does something dramatic. I haven't seen anything like that. Jordan James is going to get the third running back job by all accounts.
And they might bring back our old angry friend, but also sweet off the field, Jeff Wilson.
Why not? Jeff Wilson's the best. Isn't Burford injured? I mean, I've heard that he's got a thing, but like,
we're all hurting. I slammed my finger so hard today, I thought for a second I broke it.
That's wild.
But that's what happens when you're in the mix, man.
First,
you're in the trenches.
First rule of breaking something: can you move it? Not broken. I repeat that about three times a day, so that's fun, both for myself and for others. I'm just not terribly excited by any of these positional battles as it stands right now. It doesn't feel as if there's a real battle going on. It feels like there's somebody that they want to have the job, but they're not so good that they don't just get the job.
It's like, to me, the battle is like Evan Anderson or like Kalia Davis or Kevin Givens for your 11th defensive tackle spot or 11th defensive line spot.
I have read in a couple places that Kalia Davis seems to be the man in favor at the moment, which I believe I said that he was going to get cut. So maybe I got to eat that.
Well, he's never once been healthy for an entire training camp. So we'll see. Moody versus Greg Joseph.
This is the one. Oh my God. So Jake, we're both very intrigued by the new special teams coordinator. And he goes up to the podium. And listen, special teams coordinator podium day, not a highly sought after day, right, on the media slate. You're not like, hot damn. Like, even when
in years past, it has been resulted in audible groans for media members and nausea in certain cases.
I mean, I ended up going to Richard Hightower's ones on purpose because I found them hilarious.
Yeah.
Him trying to explain away the worst special teams you've ever seen. And then it just got worse from there. By all accounts, this team will be better on special teams because they have someone who cares about special teams and isn't just trying to use this job as a springboard for something else, running special teams. I will say them cutting George Odom was an interesting move before camp even started. I think that was probably just being decent to a long time.
Or was he ever as good at special teams as...
No, that's a very fair point. But
I'm just saying there's certain guys that get like designated special teamers like early in their career. And then it's just like, this guy's a lead at special teams. And it's like, is anyone checking on that?
Is he?
I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying I don't think anyone's digging that deep into that.
I will say this. If he's so elite at special teams, why as the ace, why did the 49ers special teams always suck with him as the ace? Like, maybe it's a Paul Skeens situation where it's not his fault, but it kind of
awesome comparison.
It's like, hey, you have the best pitcher in baseball. Oh, I guess you swept the Giants, so you can't be that bad. But like, it might be one of those. It feels bad. It feels like if you had Patrick Mahomes and you only won 3 games a year, wouldn't you start to wonder if Patrick Mahomes is any good?
Right.
Like, wouldn't you start to question if maybe he's part of the problem? Regardless, no one thinks about special teams. And Odom got injured and all these things. So, listen, we're making mountains out of molehills here. I'll say this. I was excited to read and watch and then read the transcript of the first special teams podium session of the year. And it was 20 straight questions about Greg Joseph and Jake Moody. And it's like, what is there to say? They're going to pick the better of the two. I'm convinced it will be Moody. He has to do it. If it isn't Moody, it'll be Joseph. Like, I don't think there's that. Like, what are you seeing from him? I don't know. They're kicking. Like, not to go full Kyle, but like,
right.
What are you seeing from them? They're kicking. I mean, I've probably given more in-depth analysis on the kicking situation than anybody, like with the new kick motion and all this crap. Like, I don't care about the kick. There's an empirical winner to the kicking competition.
Someone kicks more field goals.
Correct. Someone does better. Someone does better with the field goals. You know what I'm interested in?
You know what it is?
Yeah. Go.
Well, I was going to say, I think there's a fascination around kicking because it's almost made out to be this like dark arts secretive thing, when in reality, it ain't that complex. You ever kicked a football? If you played soccer, it makes a whole lot of sense. And there's technique. There's a lot of like nuances.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's a lot of like, there's more to this craft, right? And it's like, yes, but not really.
It's not as difficult as golf, right? It's a head game. So in
that's the complex part.
But how is the special teams like, he just lost his confidence. Like, what do we see, a psychiatrist? Like what are we doing here? And you're right. Like, kicking cannot be that difficult as a basic premise, because everybody in the NFL and college does it the exact same way. Three steps back, two to the left. Everyone does it the exact same way. If there was an art to it, it would require people to, I don't know, do it in another way, right?
Well, Jake, like,
you can all be impressionist.
He's torquing it.
Yeah. getting that hammy stretched, baby. Yep. But even that, like, that's not a unique thing. The Nasty Man 2.0 did the same thing for Baltimore. So, like,
I've kicked a 50-yard field goal, but I didn't have 60,000 people watching me.
Yes.
That's
that is unquestionably the problem. That is unquestionably the issue.
Otherwise, I would have gone pro.
But, you know, the real challenge is that they changed the practice fields. So now they're going, what, east-west instead of
north, yeah, south. And it's all grass. Oh. They got rid of the turf. Oh. They got rid of the turf.
They are flummoxed by all accounts. They don't know what to do. I read Kyle, he's standing in the middle and he's like, my neck is getting hurt because I have to look so far. And it's like, did anyone consult with the coaching staff who likes to stand in between two practice fields and then go left, like kind of do a full pivot Ron Swanson chair? And instead, now they have to stand there and like something's happening 100 yards away in that direction or 100 yards away.
They should genuinely have it where like it's like a tennis umpire chair, but it has the full 360 degree swivel. So he's just.
I mean, what they should have is specifically the Mario tennis umpire chair, which floats. Any big fan of Mario tennis?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So they have that little, like, I don't know. He's like a turtle dude and he like float. He's like a little spaceship. That's what you need. You need Kyle on a drone lording like above.
Dr. Robotnik.
Exactly. 100% like Dr. Robotnik. And in fact, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to question Jed York's fiscal commitment to this team because the Dr. Robotnik situation has to happen. I'm more interested with special teams, not about the kicking competition. That is obvious. We know who the punter is. We know who the long snapper is. I'm curious as to how collectively they're going to get better at punt return, kick coverage, punt coverage. I need to see how they're going to be better at that because those were those hidden yard. You want to talk about dark arts? That's called hidden yardage. And that hidden yardage wasn't the reason they only won six games last year, but it might be the reason that they didn't win seven or eight if you add it all up. And in a, I know that everyone is just jumping to conclusions, getting on their jump to conclusions, Matt, and saying, oh, well, they have an easy schedule. Everything's going to be A-okay. I don't know what this team is. I do think that they have the potential to do the high end, right, which is double-digit wins, if not 11, 12, 13. But those hidden yardages are going to be critical. It's very difficult when you are with less talent than you've had in years past, right? You think about the Super Bowl team a couple of years ago, like far less talent overall than you had. So what are you doing to improve? What are the areas that you've improved upon? Special teams has to be one of them. And I guess the good news is that there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to see the kickoff. Not the literal kickoff, but like them kicking just for 4 hours straight and whoever survives, you know, in joint practices. Just have them kick until one of them passes out and whoever passes out first loses. Yeah. I personally think that's the way they should handle it. The one thing that I'm excited to get down there for is to see the rookies on the D-line who by all accounts I think Collins is easing into it. He is such a major question mark for me that again has to completely learn a new system that Kasirk talked about.
Might be the best thing that ever happened to him, might be the worst. I mean, legitimately, again the draft grade was a B for boom or for bust. It is all or nothing with him. And that might mean that it's going to take a year. It might mean that it will click. You want to talk about mystery box. There you go. Alfred Collins.
Yeah. But again, I think the easy answer is Michael, but like CJ West could really be the most important addition on their defensive line this year.
Yes.
Because there's a world where Michael is really good, but they also have Huff and, you know, say Gross Matos plays really well in Okuana, where you could say, all right, it wasn't as dire. Whereas defensive tackle, good God, we needed somebody to plug a damn gap.
Yeah.
CJ West early returns are very good.
Well, he's got the big heavy hands. I mean, it's everything that you saw on tape, and you look at him. Maybe this is just going over old material here. You look at him and you're like, I'm not so sure about that.
Like, yeah.
when you show up to the 90-man roster, sometimes there's guys who get brought in, kind of bottom of the roster guys, and you're like, there's no nice way to put this, but it's like, you don't have an NFL, but like, it's just doughy. There's a doughiness.
And when it's like a jog practice, you're like, that's not the best way to show off those abilities.
You look at CJ West and you're like, there's a doughiness there, right? You just look at him and you go, I'm not sure how that's going to work. And then he takes the reps and you're like, God damn, that man has violence in his heart and he has the hands made of stone. Like that.
They've been searching for anything that vaguely resembles DJ Jones, not actually like looking for that mold, but like hoping they'll stumble into it for, you know, what's it, 5 years now?
Yeah.
and it's an easy comp to make because they, you know, that's your frame of reference where you go to the most recent player who did the thing.
Right.
CJ West is the closest thing that they've had to that. And we'll see as a rookie if he can put some of those pieces together.
I don't think it's outlandish to suggest that it's easy to just say, oh, go back to the last guy who did it well and then try to replicate that, because they literally hired Robert Saleh back. Like, they're like, no. Reverse. Like, just go back, undo. They're control Z-ing all the way home.
Listen,
like,
we tried other stuff and it didn't work.
Maybe.
It's like when you go to a restaurant and you're like, I love this restaurant. I get penny vodka every time here. It's so good. I'm going to try a couple other things. And you try the arancini and you're like, it's not, it like you're not quite hitting the same way. And you do the, you know, you're like, ooh, a bolognese sounds good, which granted, a bolognese is going to be good anywhere. Bad example. But you try a fettuccine Alfredo and it just doesn't work there. No. And you go back to the penne vodka. I'm saying this because I'm making penne vodka tomorrow.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I was wondering.
So that's where I'm at mentally.
Okay, so penne vodka is clearly top of mind here. I will say an encouraging point. And listen, there's injuries across the board. It's too early for me, if it's day to day stuff or even like week to week stuff. It's just too early to get worried about it, because again, this roster doesn't have those kind of competitions to where, like, for a Ricky Pearsall, like Ricky Pearsall is the number one or two receiver on this team, no matter how much he practices, because he is just more talented than all but one receiver on this team. As long as Brandon Ayuk's out, and you can make the argument he's more talented than Juwan Jennings, who is just shy of a 1,000 yard receiver last year.
Right. So, and like, we should talk briefly on Pearsall because we're getting some comments about him. So I think Alberto brought it up first. Like, is it a concern, right? is he right? Is his fragility a concern? It's really the only concern with him is his health. Now, I do think there is something to the fact that, like, what Kawachipto said, which is like, is, I don't know if he's fragile, if he's the only one they have, so let's bubble wrap it. I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's clearly something. He's had the hamstring injuries again last camp before he was shot, and then this camp, right? He's had that stuff that's a major concern. Again, the only thing that matters is getting him to the regular season healthy. And if he is healthy and he can stay healthy,
right,
then I think his production will be there. If he doesn't practice, though, and it's something that lingers throughout camp, that's something for sure to be concerned about.
100%, because this guy's never fucking practiced. He's never practiced. He showed up halfway through the season. They throw him in. It was at the point in a regular season in the NFL where they don't practice anymore.
Right.
They don't practice. He's never practiced. He's never probably, like,
I know Debo had to get him lined up. That was like one thing I actually credited Debo for last season. He was like getting Ricky aligned.
Yeah. That's why, like, I wore the C.
Of course he didn't know what he was doing. Like, he was
it's an impossible task. But again, like, at a certain point.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he want to be injured? No. Is it his fault? I mean, kind of. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, is this bad luck or bad preparation or what? Like, the Niners got to wear some of this now too.
I think there's like a concern with him that he's an overworker. Coming out of college, right? That overworked and might need to turn. But like, yeah, the shoulder was the other injury last year. So yeah, his health is, again, for me, his health is like the only concern.
Correct.
So
Well, it's the only thing you can worry about at this point, because we don't have enough data. Like, he looked good in two games last year, and we saw before, like, it should be better. Kind of breaks through. I think that there is certainly going to be some anchoring on you and I's behalf, in the sense of, like, we saw him in college. We thought he was the truth. We never got to really see that until late in the year. He gets thrown into the fire. He then gets shit all over on him because people are like, why isn't he producing? He finally produces. So maybe we're a little anchored to, like, we told you so. But legitimately, like, I'm not saying that it's going to be an issue. Like, he'll play because there's no alternative. There's no viable alternative. Yep. But ultimately, it's a real issue if he doesn't have any chemistry with Brock Purdy, because he's never practiced with Brock Purdy. And so long as that's the case, it's a problem, because the idea of, oh, well, this might just be an early blip, like, a little hard for me to believe. I hope that for his sake, because he's not a big bodied receiver. I'm not saying he's frail or anything.
No, that's fair.
But like, you look at him and you're like, oh boy, like, the main concern for many is, like, how will he do going over the middle? Now I defer to Bomani Jones. We gentrified the middle of the field. Like, not a hard place.
He's also taken some shots and bounced up even in college. I would say college tape.
There's a lot of that, but it's a lot different getting hit in the NFL than getting hit by question. Some guy who's playing over in the German semi-pro league right now.
Yes, 100%. I would say two things. One, again, injury health is the number one concern for him. Absolutely. Number two is my point of optimism in terms of, if he does miss time or they do bubble wrap him and limit what he does. Yeah. It sounded like at the end of last year, in the way he messages Brock and watches tape, there's an element of that off the field that I think is going to be really beneficial in terms of the work ethic. But again, most of that stuff comes just from reps. So we'll see. I do think they'll take the bubble wrap on, or I mean off, as camp goes on and going into joint practices, because that's what Kyle values, and he's going to want to see that.
I think we just have to see it. I think we have to see him. I can't go into this season expecting Ricky Pearsall to be the thing that he should be. Right? He should be a very big thing for this team this year because of where he's at with his skill set, the increased possibilities and perhaps even responsibilities that come from being that talented on a roster whose wide receiver room is tough to look at. Like, very easy.
Gabe Davis said he wanted to sign with the Niners.
I did not see that, but my presumption is that Gabe Davis, Lord of the Mid, is too injured to sign with anybody. That's my guess.
That's usually how that goes. And then a team goes, all right, well,
yeah, fuck it. Ricky Pearsall, rip something in his spleen, so I guess we're going to have to sign you, Gabe. It is. I want to see it. I need to see it. I think with any other second-year player, even a first-round pick, to be operating on this much faith, even with, again, a nice little chunk of, hey, that's pretty good, to be operating this much on faith, knowing that his role is increasing significantly in theory this season, is just a bit too much to ask. I you and I are both very keen on saying, hey, let's pump the brakes on rookies, right? Like, it's going to be hard. There's a lot of rookie left in Ricky Pearsall here, because he's just never fucking practiced.
That's fair. It's interesting where, if he is not available, and that's not something I'm predicting. I'm just saying, in a scenario where he's not available, like, this is clearly a bottom five tight end or wide receiver.
Ooh, like, I mean, it has a chance of being the worst. Washington's bad. It's
Ayuk, who knows when he's coming back, what he'll be. And then it's just Juwan Jennings and DeMarcus Robinson. And then you're hoping for Cowing and Watkins to do stuff. And
I think I can see the best case scenario on all of those guys. Like, I might end up being an optimist on some of these guys. We have no resolution on whatever the DeMarcus Robinson situation is.
So weird that has not been resolved yet.
And who knows if it will ever be resolved, because what's going on with the NFL? That weird situation. There's no time frame on Ayuk. The fact that every report that I'm reading currently has the phrase, "There is no timetable on Brandon Ayuk," tells you how dire the situation is at wide receiver. That you're John Lynch, Brandon Ayuk, what could he do for this team?
John Lynch said he did a lot to his knee. And then he did the thing where he's like, he did a lot of things to his knee, but coming along well, he might be back.
None of that's news. Like, none of this is news. And exactly. You and I are both of the mindset that, like, Halloween is the earliest that he could possibly. We're probably thinking more Thanksgiving. And who knows if this is not just a wash of a season. Like, yeah, he's out there, but he ain't Brandon Ayuk, whatever the hell that is. So I'm just going to count him out. So you got Jennings, who, listen, Juwan Jennings is a wonderful wide receiver when utilized correctly. I think that a bit of the shine came off late last season because teams pretty much figured out that he needs to be off ball in the slot in order to be as prolific as he can be, and that they were operating a lot on forced passes from Brock Purdy because there was no alternative. I don't know if I want that to continue this season, though it might have to. Robinson, again, we don't know what the deal is there. But sure. By all accounts, DeMarcus Robinson, NFL caliber wide receiver, plus better than average. Might be exactly average, but he's better than average, I think, in my book.
I agree.
Legitimately, that's a decent conversation. Is he the most average wide receiver in the NFL, DeMarcus Robinson?
Average gets such a bad rap, but average is like average.
You'll play for 10 years with average. Right? Like Michael Gallup made a lot of money.
That's a good question. My gut is that he's slightly above average.
That's my gut too.
Because he's done some cool shit over the last couple of years. He's done some stuff with the Rams where he's like, he's kind of just a pain of a receiver at times to deal with. I think he's better than average.
I'll give you that, though. I do think,
but it's not by that much.
Yeah. Also having like kind of an average, like almost a create a player name, just like first name DeMarcus. It's like, yeah, that's a pretty average wide receiver name. Last name Robinson, very average name. Like, just not being like, you know, what was it? Cephas? Was Marcus?
Oh, Marcus Cephas? Yeah. Quintez Cephas?
Quintez Cephas. That is not an average name.
Wisconsin? Right? Like, Wisconsin, if I'm
yes,
not.
Yes, Wisconsin. Mistaken. That is correct. Yeah.
Remember watching we barely him in the knew Big you. Ten.
49ers legend, Quintez
Cephas. I was like, oh, he's interesting. Didn't he test her?
Yeah, and then they cut up his ass about a day later. And so, like, just average. That is what it is. I think there's plus. I think that there's value to be had with having him on the roster. Pearsall is sort of the pivot point. If you have Pearsall, now you have three receivers that you go, oh, they're okay. Like, there's something interesting here, right? Pearsall with the upside, but a pretty high floor, I'd argue. Jennings with a very high floor, less upside, but really reliable, right? Trustworthy, great blocker, winning football player. Let's just call it what it is. Juwan Jennings, a winning football player. And then, you know, Robinson, who, like, you could do a hell of a lot worse. You could do a hell of a lot better. You could do a hell of a lot worse.
If it's those three, mostly healthy, and Kittle, it's enough.
It's like that's like the 17th or 18th best pass catching group, right?
Plus McCaffrey. Again, you're asking all these guys to be healthy, which is the biggest ask.
Then we get into the real issues, right? That's
right.
Jordan Watkins to now has a rookie step up and play a role, or, you know, Jacob Cowing to survive in the NFL at 5'4". And like,
I'm with you.
Challenging scenarios.
Yeah. I think one position people are mentioning that we haven't talked about is safety. Haven't heard anything on Marquis Siegel, which is always going to be tough with safeties.
Safeties is so difficult.
Right.
Such a tame job.
It's a little bit like running back in the sense that, like, you're not going to know too much until you play an actual preseason game.
Well, I think running back is a very apt comparison.
Let me clarify. We are not going to know much. The defensive coaches will have an idea on safety in terms of their movements, but it is hard to evaluate just from a sideline when you don't know what the play call is.
And even then, there's some extrapolation on just the movement, right? So, I mean, the biggest differentiation between a good safety and a great safety is the ability to come up and thump, right? Because it is a coverage-first job now, right? You have to cover space. You have to cover a man. It's a cover-first job now in a modern passing league. So the change is the ability to come up and really affect the run on top of being an elite coverage guy. So that's where you get a Derwin James, right? That's where you get the best of the best. Not only they're, you know, they're the
which is why like Seattle going for Imanwari makes a ton of sense, even if he's a total whiff because he's got unparalleled size for the position.
Correct. I don't know if he's got, I don't know if he has violence in his heart, but we'll find out. And this is why Mustafa's often like awesome because he's not, he is better at thumping than he is at coverage, but he is very valuable in coverage and the thump has the chance to be elite. So you want him at strong, but you could play him at free. Now you're working with something. What?
Someone said, I can't wait to see 32 personnel.
Now we're cooking. Yeah, you thought my 12 personnel take was a bit much. Here comes 32. Full house, baby. By the way, I took my daughter to, took my car to the city to get serviced. And I took my eldest daughter, who's 2.5, almost 3. And I'm like, what do I do with a kid in the city for like a full morning? Because the one museum that I wanted to go to was closed. So we went to like every play park in San Francisco, including Alamo Square, where it was just European tourists just staring at the Full House houses as I'm like doing the swing. And you're just looking at it and you're like, wow, people are like getting out of Ubers and like taking photos and stuff.
That's awesome.
Like, I can't believe that show made it to San Francisco. Bulgaria.
A lot of things to criticize, but goddamn, can they do a park?
They can do a park. I'll give you that. Golden Gate Park, the kids zone, too much. Honestly, too good a park. Can't even handle it. As someone who's
been to Tunnel Tops, look across.
Oh yeah. Okay, enough park talk. Though it has basically been my life for the last 2 months. Just like, oh, we're going to the play park. Cool. Another day, another play park. The safety situation, it sounds like they're going to give Jair Brown every opportunity to fuck this up.
Is he healthy?
He's playing. He's doing something. I think that they're going to give him every opportunity to fuck this thing up. And it's going to be him.
I mean, he should get chances.
It's interesting that Richie Grant, who looked good in minicamp and OTAs, even we admitted it. I know, you know, you weren't high on him coming in. I didn't really have a strong opinion about him. But we were both skeptical, to say the least, you more so than me. Again, you were more wrong than me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. Kind of down the depth chart, right? They're going with Pinnock, the kid out of Pitt. And who I liked 6 years ago. I'm not sure what's happened since then. It seems as if he's the guy, and then Jair Brown has been given every opportunity again to win a job here. And I think that's probably the right way to go about it. Scary, scary living, though. Yeah, living on the edge here.
Safety is dicey. Again, we talked about it before, but it has got a wide range of outcomes. It could be pretty sneaky. You could have like a very good young core and suddenly be like, ooh, is the future of safety secured? Are we like incredibly solid there for the next half decade? Or it's an absolute dumpster fire. And I could really see it going either way.
I don't think we're going to have any idea until like October 1st.
I'm with you.
Just one of those things. Let's get a super chat in. Amar Singh. Why don't they move CMC to the slot? No wide receiver depth. I mean, they kind of do already.
But they got obsessed. They got a little too high on their own supply with the bump motion. And I get it because it means
Kyle hadn't invented anything in years. So he's like,
it means he's coming from a different depth. And so it changes a little bit the timing and coverage response. It doesn't change the coverage responsibilities, but it does change like the timing of when he gets open. Well, and number
not
two,
only that, it doesn't change the responsibilities. That's the whole point, is that you maintain the responsibilities at alignment. Typically, that means that you're in a heavier set if things are going right. But then you also get those guys getting off kilter.
It means he doesn't have to get pressed off the line. He doesn't get chipped. None of that stuff, which happens when you go into the slot, it means you get a free release. And if you give McCaffrey a free release, at least for the first 5 yards, and he can just kind of do whatever he wants in space, he's going to win most of the time. So I think that's part of it. But they still put him in the slot.
They do bump motion with Kittle at times. I think we're going to see more of that this year. You know,
they should just get flagged for doing simultaneous bump motion. They're like, they let us get away with cheat motion. Let's see if they just forget what the rules are and also allow multiple people to shift.
I mean, legitimately, I do think, not to relitigate last year, but like, why weren't, you know, you're putting Debo in the backfield constantly. Did they ever bump him?
Sorry. I think they did. But I have a quick tangent. Did you see they gave Debo like the Luka Doncic treatment with the like Luka on the cover of Men's Health after everyone called him fat, and then Debo sort of went like, his trainer's saying he's got 6% body fat and all that. Like, I'm not saying Debo's not in good shape. I'm sure he's out on a mission and he's coming into camp in good shape. But it is always funny when there's such like a so transparent. Like, oh, this guy.
He wasn't fat, but look at how cut he is now. That's the argument. It's like, so what are we saying here?
A lot was left unsaid.
I'll also say this. Like, it's not a question on if you can come into camp in really good shape. Last year, Debo was in great shape in camp. Legitimately, he looked slim. Slimmer than me, that's for sure. And, like, the idea is, can you maintain it? Right? Can you maintain the good habits? Can you maintain that form throughout the season? Right? I was saying earlier, like halfway through the season, they stopped practicing.
And there was the illness, right?
He had pneumonia.
But they never made that. No one really pointed that as an excuse. I don't think he did either. So
no, and I'll give him credit for that. But I mean, the dude was, and I this is going to come across as flippant and unfair. It is the honest to God truth. He was busting out of his tracksuit at the end of the year. It was like, dude, that is two sizes too small for you, as he's doing his locker clean out. It's like, just go to the equipment man and get yourself an XL. Like, you're busting out of this thing. And it was just so evident on the field, right? That number one was not flattering. In that regard, he needed a much larger number to cover.
I mean, literally, someone asked, I think Barrows asked him, like, is number one slimming? And he's like, do you think it is? And that was Kyle's honest to God reaction. Yeah. Which, again, we enough talking about Debo. Listen, I hope he does
I'm just,
well
I'm not,
with Washington,
I'm,
but
I'm not bullish.
He was objectively on the heavier side, no question.
Correct. And it was, you know, if only someone could have told the 49ers a year before the season, like, hey, maybe get off Debo now before this all goes to hell. And damn, if they didn't listen to me,
then they kept Ayuk. And where are we now?
Part of an overall bad season.
Tough season. Someone asked, any additional thoughts on Michael? No.
I mean, listen, you couldn't possibly have been higher on Michael than us. Frankly, everything that we hear about Michael is underwhelming compared to where we were at. Like,
right. Trent Williams is like, God damn it. He's a pain in the ass.
Michael Williams has the physical traits to be as good as any player in the NFL. Full stop. Will he ever get there? I don't know. I really don't. But he has the physical traits to be as good as any player in the NFL. And going back to the draft guide, I brought Jake along with me. He had him at 2. I'm like, fuck it, we're going number one. There's no player that I would take over Michael Williams. And I maintain that to this day. There's no player that I would have taken over Michael Williams, even with whatever the hell has been going on. There's no player. In 5 years, we will do, you know, in 5 years in June or July, some person, if the internet still exists, will be like, let's redraft the 2025 NFL draft in, you know, 2030 here. And they will be like, Michael Williams, 1. Mark it down right now. You're going to redraft in 5 years and it will be Michael Williams, 1. That is firmly what I believe. So
it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, we'll see. I'm very interested to see what on earth happens with Travis Hunter. I'm not sold that their plan is going to work. But it'll be fun. It'll be weird. And if it works, it'll be weird fun.
No, I think that there's a lot of quality, positive things to say about it. I don't know. They better have as good of a time as they can now. Let's put it that way. Because I have a hard time believing that Travis Hunter is going to be the same player when he's on his second contract as he will be on his first. Just given the nature of the NFL, and I'm not saying overworked. I think that there are players that have certain stamina talents. I just think the wear and tear, if he's 15% worse as a wide receiver, is he still special? Is he 15% worse as a cornerback? Is he still special? Will he have to choose a position 5 years down the line? Well, now is it as fun? Is he elite at either of those? There's a lot of questions that come into this. I encourage him to play both ways. I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. But like
my stance, and I don't know if they're doing it this way, my stance was that he should play corner and they should have third down package for him. Right.
And it might be that case.
Give him a little bit to do on offense, but I think offense is much easier as a wide receiver than corner is, and it's hard to like part-time it. Also, Josh Simmons apparently looking great for the Chiefs.
Who could have seen it coming, Jake? Who could have seen it coming? What did we have Simmons at?
He was my number one tackle.
Number one OT?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the draft guide in a while. Yeah, he might blow out his knee. I might blow out my knee. I hope not.
We're all just operating day to day, baby. Purdy had a kid.
Kyle blew out his elbow, as someone mentioned, by the way.
He did blow out his elbow.
That sucks. Which
that absolutely sucks for
Kyle.
He's
going to be angrier.
Like, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have that release of spinning a couple spirals out there with the boys.
He'll probably learn to throw lefty. I bet it.
He apparently tried, and he said it didn't go well. And I think that's him being mentally weak. That's what I think. I think that if you're wondering why it is they keep, people wonder like how come Kyle Shanahan can't get it done in the clutch, and it's been alleged that he's mentally weak, and the fact that he's not willing to grit it out and learn to throw lefty effectively clearly indicates a mental weakness that he'll just never get over.
God damn it. By the way, Josh Simmons was 9 on your board. I think your second overall offensive tackle. Oh. And he was our second was overall offensive tackle. He was also 9 on my board. So he was, I only had him behind Membu. I think we only had him behind Membu because.
That's right.
Membu.
In retrospect, I love Membu. I have no regrets whatsoever on Membu. Maybe I overrid my default. Like I still think of him as a guard, even though I absolutely think that he should be a tackle. But that's what happened there. Purdy had a kid. Bad timing.
Congrats.
But congratulations. He's gonna be great at that. And it's the best. He'll kill you, but it's the best. He has so much money that he'll be able to get plenty of help. Something that I can't attest to. So unless you want to subscribe and like the show, would appreciate that. You become an official sicko and save me from myself and my children. I'll give you this, Jake. Not a lot of conversation about how much he makes right now. Seems like he's been doing well enough that no one's mentioned how much money he makes. And so long as that's the case, that's a good thing. I just don't want to hear how much money he makes. If we're talking about how much money he makes, something has gone horribly wrong. That's where I'm at. So I'm glad that we've made it through a week and no one seems to have mentioned how much fucking money he makes. Though apparently, get this, who could have seen this one coming? Mac Jones looks great. He just looks so good out there, you guys. Brock went to go see a kid get born and he got Wally Pitt by Mac Jones.
100%.
A lesson to you all. Don't watch your children be born. Stay at work.
Tanner Mordecai is still somewhere, right? He's still.
I haven't heard his name.
There.
I haven't heard his name.
That's for the best.
Well, I haven't been watching Larry, so.
That's. You said it, not me. It's a factual statement. Did we miss anything? We're going to go down there. We're going to see him and we'll have.
Yeah, we'll be there. I mean, it's coming. There's a level of. Okay, so here's the deal. I could be there every day if I wanted to be. I don't want to bring either a 2.5-year-old or a 6-month-old baby to training camp. One, very loud, unnecessarily loud. They got the DJ playing just the worst Spotify playlist with commercials known to man. It's like, dude, your job is to be the DJ and we're listening to Spotify commercials? He tries to like... level off like, oh no, I went to the other track, right? He's got the board. He's got a little switch. I've heard the commercial start and it's like, dude, $9.99. Have a little pride. I mean, I'm not even a Spotify guy, and I'm like, come on.
Very anti-Spotify, as I recall.
That's right. That's right. Go title.
But that's a conversation for another day.
It's a conversation that will never happen, is what I'm, I think. I'm very happy to have it. I don't think anyone wants to have it with me. And I think they're right. Regardless, it's so loud. And yeah, I'm not sure that's a good environment for small children.
Probably not. You bring Moose down. You could just
Moose
go
Kirk Street. Great time. Yeah, that's a comparison. So
you could you could pretend you're Kirk Herb Street, and
I get it. He's working that therapy dog, but he also flies private, like, so he can get away with it. Meanwhile, okay, I'm just going off tangent here. Stop bringing your dog into Target.
Like, people got really comfortable, I think, after COVID, just bringing their dogs places. Some. Like me, who has a dog that's not meant to interact with the general public, he stays in my home, which is where most dogs. I'm not saying dogs should stay inside, but I'm saying you don't need to bring him in the store for the most part.
He's fine. Like,
especially if it's not like the chillest dog of all time. I assume if you're bringing a dog inside, chillest dog of all time. Some people are bringing in lunatic dogs.
No, like, what are you doing? They're little rat fuck dogs.
Little
rat fuck dogs. And it's like, listen, you know I love dogs. I shouldn't even need to preface that, because this statement is coming whether I love dogs or not. Some of these dogs I want to punt. I want to go full Anchorman and just punt
literally them off. Literally what my dad used to say about our old dog. He was a Jack Russell Chihuahua mix that we rescued. So.
Oh, brutal. That's a tough scene. That was a bad
one. One of those dogs that you're like, God damn it. But then you look over and your dad's like cuddling with the dog angrily.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jake, one day you'll know that's the entirety of fatherhood is that you're just pissed off all the time. And then it's like, but there are moments of sweetness that no one will ever see.
That's fatherhood. folks, I picked up Dieter from the airport after a trip, and he wasn't shell shocked, but there was a look of pure exhaustion in his face. That
you want me to give you? Like, want me to give you the full play by play on that? Let me give you the full play by play on that. So, we're in Croatia. We stayed at a house that was 20 minutes down a dirt road from nothing. Unbelievable house, awesome. Huge modern white house, had a pool. It was great. We had a great time. It was very fun and relaxing. I read like 7 books, including the most fucked up book I've ever read in my life, which I'll give you next time I see you.
Great.
It's called Tender is the Flesh. Don't look it up. It is fucked up. Long story on that one.
Don't worry. I'm reading a book about plantations in Brazil. So continue.
This one's way worse, my buddy.
Okay.
And this one's in Argentina. Regardless, great time there. The Airbnb is one day short of our flight, right? So we can't get it the full bore, which is fine because the airport's like an hour away down a dirt road. So I'm like, I'll just get a hotel somewhat near the airport, like 15 minutes from the airport. We go to that hotel. It's fine. European hotels are kind of weird. It's kind of like, it's like a quasi bed and breakfast feel to all of them. And 100%. Everything's just a little off. So we're at this hotel. It's fine. It's highly rated. Both Heather and I I'm sleeping in a bed with the 2.5-year-old. She's in the bed with the 6-month-old because these kids and their sleeping habits suck. So we just need to be there to quell. About 3 o'clock in the morning, we're both Googling separately, unbeknownst to each other, bed bugs.
Oh no.
Because we're getting eaten by something. And we have had bed bugs once in our lives. Thanks to, we bought this house. This house was apparently run over with like dogs and cats and stuff. They had like 40 pets in this house. And so before I deep cleaned the house, meaning like went through every inch of it with a steamer, some fleas or bed bugs or something had gotten onto our clothes and then taken to our apartment in Oakland and gotten in. So I have had firsthand experience with the nightmare that is bed bugs, and I've eradicated them. This is the last night before we're heading back. We're about to be on an 11-hour flight. Not just that, it's a 2-hour flight to Copenhagen and then an 11-hour flight from there.
You mean Copenhagen?
Copenhagen, yeah. Very mean people in Denmark, by the way.
Yeah.
Not like overtly mean, but like just like cross. Like it's like, God damn, man, what did I do? So I understand why people say that I would fit in well there. So it's not a good morning at about 6 a.m. when I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I get up and I walk out and we're just both going, doesn't get in. The kids don't feel it at all, but we have to leave like a good deal of clothes. Luckily, we had left most of the clothes in the car in the suitcases, and we only brought in like a day pack. But we just had to like leave that shit.
Oh,
so that's the morning.
Damn.
And then I'm like, I have to like tell the hotel, and they're like, oh, it's like, what are we going to fucking do? I'm like, I'm not paying for this. I'll just deal with it with Amex. So it's like, okay, I go. Everything itches. It sucks. You know, you try to take a shower, whatever. We're at the airport. Airport's chaos. Yeah, then it gets into just basic air travel. By the way, my 6-month-old daughter during this stretch has found her voice, if you will,
oh,
in that
no.
She screams like a pterodactyl whenever she's bored. She just goes, and it's kind of funny looking, and it sounds great. Not ideal on an 11-hour flight where the baby is always bored. Awesome.
That's so awesome.
That was my day, and then you text me, and by the way, the Wi-Fi on the plane didn't work. So you text me as the plane is coming down into San Francisco. Right? And you and I had been communicating when I was coming in, like, hey, okay, just here's the running because Jake.
Everything's all good. I'll pick you guys up.
And then you text me and you go, someone took the front bumper off your car. I'm like, okay. Now, you know, then I had also told you that, and this may be too much detail, I told you the night before, plug in the EV right. So that you can come and get us in case whatever.
Right.
You didn't do that.
But no, luckily, absolutely not. No.
Luckily, I left the EV card in there. So you were.
I figured it out. Absolutely botched it.
That was good thinking on your. It was fine. It was a good. It was a good save by Jake. This is why we keep him. He's the best in the biz. But yeah, someone took. So you're like, oh yeah, someone took the bumper off the CRV. Fucking okay. Well, fucking roll with the punches. So we start with bed bugs, screaming child for 11 hours. And nothing pains me more than like inconveniencing other people in an enclosed space. Like just, I don't want to be seen. And she's just like, hi, the entire time. To the point where we're both putting our hands on her mouth. Like, please shut the fuck up. She's in a great mood. The entire time she's in a great mood. She's
that's such a funny way to express that she's having a great time. Just absolutely screaming.
And so just yes. And then you're like, oh yeah, the bumper's off the car. So yeah, that was my day. And then you're like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, yeah, because I didn't want to burden you with that. I wanted to burden our audience.
That's
with that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, our audience. About. I mean, if you're not here for this, that's a beautiful travel day. That's being a real A-class father, and just...
you want resolution on these things, by the way?
Not really, but sure.
Well, I'm going to give you, because at this point, we're too far in. One, the hotel is saying that actually it wasn't bed bugs, and I'm like, so what the fuck was it? So we're in a good email back and forth on that one. And then...
Or like their special Denmark bugs.
it was in Croatia. And so... Oh, right. And then Luckily, my neighbor was like, I think someone took the bumper off your car. So I have that video of him talking Unreal. To you on the front porch, which was hilarious. And then I'm going through the camera and I can't see the actual incident on the front of the house because it's behind a bush.
Right.
But I can see the guy getting out of the car and going, oh, fuck. and getting back in the truck. So it was the trash truck. It was the garbage truck that came in. It has awesome. Like an arm that comes down and grabs the trash can, just ripped the motherfucker straight off the front. So I called ACI, the trash company. I'm like, hey, you ripped the bumper off my car. I would like to have this dealt with. And they're like, oh, we'll look at the video. They don't get back to me for like 5 days. And they're like, oh, we'll deal with it within 24 hours. Don't get back to me for 5 days. And I'm like, oh boy, they're going to gaslight me. They call me up today and they go, yeah, so we're definitely going to have to help you replace that bumper. I don't know how he didn't see it. He took that thing straight off.
Oh,
so we had a good
God.
Laugh about that. It was hilarious. I show up at home after one of the longest days of my life, and the bumper is just straight down.
Comically off.
On the ground. It was so far off, I couldn't do it. I'm just like, yep, that is exactly what Jake said. The entire thing came off.
I came outside, and I tried to do a Lego thing and just go, not happening.
No, I was able to get it back. I duct taped a lot of it. And it's a seed.
To bring it back around, it's kind of what the 49ers are trying to do with their roster at safety. You know? You just...
No, there's no saving it.
Just duct tape.
So that's where we're at. Jake, you said you're excited to see the defensive tackles at that's camp. Right. Is there anything else that has tickled your fancy that has you...
I'm always tickled.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Man. I always like to see the O lineman. I haven't heard much about Drew Moss. Mm-hmm. Nick Sakel apparently is doing fine. I do want to know what Upton Stout's up to. I would like to see him. Yeah. And I would like to see all of the linebackers and try to figure out who's who and if anyone's doing anything notable. But really, Upton Stout sounds fun to watch.
Hall of Fame game tomorrow.
I love that whoever's in that just has the worst time ever.
Well, you want to know who's starting that game?
Who?
Trey Lance.
Sean Watson?
Trey Lance is starting the Hall of Fame game for the Chargers.
Is he? I might tune in.
A quote from Harbaugh. I want to get Trey Lance game experience. You're 25 years old, bubs. Little late. That is what's going
to
happen.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a perfect. Well, first off, I'm going to watch it until the first rain delay. Every year, the Hall of Fame game, you get so excited, and they're like, "Oh, there was lightning in the area. we're not going to start." Mike Tirico is just going to hang out in the booth and almost die for another hour.
Italian Mike,
the Italian Stallion.
Right, we got to wrap.
Okay. We'll talk once we've actually, put some eyes on this goddamn team. And I promise no more travel stories. For
who knows? I might have one.
I'm Dieter and the Italian Stallion, Mike Tirico. Have a good one.